Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I am so excited to be here with you. Interestingly, today is June 6th, 2013. That means it is the 69th anniversary of D-Day, and that was a very momentous day in history, and I consider this a very momentous day personally because it's the launch of a new podcast series that I'm going to be doing, hopefully, for quite a long time. Many of you know me through my program, Health Talk. It's a long-running program. It's been going on for over 25 years on the WOR radio network, and it's still on weekends. We have a show that's broadcast on weekends through many different radio stations. You can go to WOR710.com and find out if there's a station near you, or you can download a podcast of the weekend edition of the program. That's going strong. But there's been a hiatus in our weekday broadcasts, and a lot of people listen live, and a lot of people listen through podcasts. That's a new way of listening. And many of you have been going through podcast withdrawal because you are Health Talk fanatics. And I've been sort of going through withdrawal as well because I love getting this information out to you. This is what my mission statement is about, is hunting down valuable information and sharing it in a very digestible form with our listening audience. I try to break down the stories that are of importance to you, that may have impact in terms of your health, the health of your loved ones, that may impact your longevity, or the stories that just may give you a lift that you might find interesting, funny, or amusing or encouraging as you seek your own pathway towards health. So I've been sharing information for 25 years, and this Intelligent Medicine Podcast is a way of continuing to get the information out to you to augment the information that I get out to you already on the regular Health Talk broadcast on terrestrial radio. That's a ground-based radio, people using regular radio devices in their cars or in their homes. And there's been a sea change, I think, in our way of communicating information. In the past, you know, maybe 10 years ago, people would say, podcast, what are you talking about? That's some kind of futuristic talk. I never heard of that. Nowadays, I have devoted fans in their 80s and beyond who are adept at downloading podcasts. They know how to use iPads and iPhones and computers and handheld mobile devices to get information. And more, I think we're going to be seeking out the information that's of interest to us. It used to be the way you used to watch TV is you'd just turn on the TV and whatever was presented to you, you would watch. And then you'd have to sit laboriously through commercials as well. Nowadays, people pick their entertainment. They've got numerous possibilities. There's all kinds of options. And if you have a special interest, say your interest is in Civil War memorabilia, you know, you could probably find a program or a podcast on that subject. But medicine is a big topic, and intelligent medicine, well, what is intelligent medicine? Well, intelligent medicine is actually the name of a book that I wrote quite a long time ago in the 1990s. And the original title of that book, this is a true story, I went to the publisher and I said, I want to write a book called The Baby Boomers Repair Manual. And in those days, there were a lot of people working at book publishers, and they would have long meetings, and they would sit at oaken tables, and they would decide things. And I went to such a meeting, and they heard that, and instead of getting really excited like I thought they would, they said, well, we don't want to restrict this book to just the narrow audience of the baby boomers. In retrospect, that was not very foresightful, because there's 60 million plus baby boomers, and that would have been a big audience, and I think that would have been a hit title. But they decided on, they said, go back and figure out another title. So I said, well, what about intelligent medicine? And they said, well, that's a great title, because that's very general. That applies to just about anything. And so intelligent medicine became kind of a motto for me. You'll see it on our website at drhoffman.com. You know, we talk about intelligent medicine. What is intelligent medicine? Intelligent medicine means whatever works, the best of high-tech medicine, because I don't completely discount high-tech medicine. High-tech medicine has a lot of benefits. Some people who are in the field of complementary and alternative medicine, they don't want any part of drugs, surgery, radiation therapies, any type of high-tech intervention they mistrust. Well, there are certain situations where high-tech medicine is great. It really works. But all too often, high-tech medicine brings with it overstated expectations. You know, you think that these miracle breakthroughs are going to ultimately save our lives. And in some cases, they turn out to be flawed. They turn out to have serious side effects. The press is constantly reporting on amazing new breakthroughs. But where are we in our fight against cancer and cardiovascular disease and many debilitating conditions? We're no further along in many ways than we were decades ago without some of these expensive medications and interventions that have a lot of side effects and downsides. So natural medicine is a wonderful solution for many problems, and too often its role is ignored by the press. There's certainly a bias in the press about natural therapies. One of the continual themes on my Health Talk program, and something that I'll be talking about in Intelligent Medicine, often there are studies that debunk various types of alternative therapies, that this herb or that herb is toxic or useless. And then if we delve a little more deeply and we really look at the scientific literature, and I draw upon my experience as a physician treating patients with natural methods, it turns out that these therapies really do have value and they shouldn't be so readily discounted. So intelligent medicine means the best of both worlds. We combine it in a sane and savvy way. Another word for it is complementary medicine. We complement the high-tech developments in medicine with natural approaches that really work, that are scientifically validated. We don't want any hocus-pocus. And by no means is the world of alternative medicine free of things that are potentially harmful or things that are hyped up and really shouldn't be talked about so much. You know, miracle things that enhance your libido, make you feel like you're a 20-year-old stud. Sometimes these things are overly hyped, and they're just about selling you product and ultimately are a betrayal of the public trust. Miracle weight loss products that don't work, on and on. You know, we evaluate these things here on Health Talk and now in the Intelligent Medicine podcast, and we take a dispassionate look at them because I really want to provide you with information that is helpful to you, news that you can use in an unbiased fashion. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a medical doctor. I trained in conventional medicine. I graduated from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in 1983. In fact, I just attended my 30-year med school reunion. And I sat with my classmates, most of whom are, in fact, all of whom are conventional doctors. And, you know, we asked each other what we're doing. Some of my classmates are ophthalmologists, some of my classmates are radiologists, some of my classmates are very successful cardiologists. And they said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I do integrative medicine. And they looked at me, you know, like, whoa, that's interesting. And, you know, how do you practice medicine outside, conventional hospital system? What types of therapies do you use? They actually were kind of interested in what I did. This is something that I've been doing for the past 30 years. I took a step away from conventional medical practice when I finished my medical training. And I'm just very, very happy that I took that turn in my professional career because I think it's a much more rewarding and fascinating way to practice medicine. I think I brought a lot of success to many medical problems and helped a lot of patients. And once you've tried natural alternatives in medicine, it's hard to go back to practicing medicine by the book. This is not to say that my colleagues who were practicing conventional medicine are not doing a great job in their areas of specialty. It's just that integrative medicine, I think, is a very, very important part of our medical system. I also consider myself sort of a living laboratory. I'm conducting my own science fair project with my diet, my exercise, various practices that I use to stay young and focused. And I consider myself sort of a proving ground for many of the natural supplements and therapies that I talk about. I've tried it all. And I've also had the opportunity, fortunately, due to the fact that I'm in practice, to see what really works. I'm not just talking about theories. I don't just read about articles in the paper like, wow, this is interesting because there was a study done. I get to try it out and field test it in my practice. It's a busy practice. I see patients most days every week, and I work with a nutritionist. Many of you have heard her. She'll be a frequent guest here on Health Talk, Layla Mudin. And we have an opportunity to share in helping many patients to get out of very, very serious medical quandaries, and you know, ranging from patients who just don't feel quite right, they have fatigue, or patients who have very serious diseases, advanced cardiovascular disease, serious diabetes, patients with serious autoimmune diseases, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, and of course, cancer. Cancer is a problem that, you know, while I'm not going to claim that I have a magic herbal formula that cures all forms of cancer, there's definitely a place for natural support in working with cancer patients. So we're going to range through all manner of topics. I think you'll always find something of interest specifically for you or for your loved ones. That's the point of listening to Health Talk. We mix it up and we provide you with a lot of different perspectives. Topics that we'll cover, of course, we'll talk about high-tech developments in medicine. We'll take a critical view towards them, because sometimes what is touted as a major breakthrough in the treatment of one or another disease turns out to have potential side effects. And I think I've called some of these things even before it emerged that these therapies were not up to snuff. We'll talk a lot about the politics of medicine. Politics of medicine are very important these days as we enter a new era of Obamacare, as medical costs skyrocket, as really it's medicine is front and center in consideration of politics and where this nation is headed, because our medical costs threaten to swamp us as a nation. Threaten to sap our productivity and damage our standing in the world, because our costs are skyrocketing. We're not getting enough bang for our buck. Many other countries spend far less per capita, and their health statistics are better. So what are we doing wrong? Well, that's what intelligent medicine seeks to address. And we're going to look at things from a political standpoint, too. There's an assault on our freedom of choice. Those of us who like to take supplements or like to go to see complementary practitioners, whether it's an MD or a chiropractor or a naturopath or a nutritionist, many governmental agencies are trying to further regulate the practice of medicine and make determinations about what's right for you. And we're going to talk about that, because I think that's a big issue these days in the field of medicine, particularly as it pertains to people who want to step a little bit outside the box and try some natural approaches to their health problems. Sometimes well-meaning or maybe not so well-meaning government bureaucrats get in the way of us having proper choices in selection of therapies that we want to pursue. We're going to clearly talk about vitamins and natural therapies. We're on the cusp of all the latest research. And we also cover it from a different perspective than the mainstream media, because time after time, you see mainstream media stories, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, major media outlets, will come up with stories that are dumbed down about natural therapies. This or that or the other vitamin has shown to not be beneficial. And then when we look at the actual studies, the studies don't say that at all. The studies actually suggest that there may be benefit, and we're seeing a lot of media bias. So we want to provide you with a little bit of an antidote to combat media bias in the coverage of stories about natural therapies. So that's our mission statement here. We'll talk mind-body. We'll talk about various types of innovative therapies and approaches. We'll have lots of guests here on Health Talk. There are lots of really important people that I don't have time to talk to on our weekend program. And we're going to invite some distinguished practitioners of complementary and alternative medicine, people who've written very, very important articles or have done important research or are treating patients in a unique way. And we want to expose our listening audience, our intelligent medicine fans, to some unique perspectives on natural medicine with some of these very, very important people. So that's pretty much what you're going to be expecting. You may also be interested in some other ways of getting information. You may want to friend me on Facebook. I continually post articles and sometimes some personal stuff on Facebook that I think you'll find interesting, get a little bit more perspective on me as a person and what I'm doing, but also articles of interest that I think you'll find important. Also, check out our website at drhoffman.com. We're in the process of revamping it. Pretty soon we're going to roll out a new website. It's going to have a lot of new features. But for each program that we do, we're going to post specific references to the articles that we talk about. So this will become a very, very useful resource for you, hopefully, if you use it. If you go to our website and as you download podcasts, you can also look at, say, for example, I'm talking about the Mediterranean diet, the benefits of olive oil and omega-3 fatty acids and beneficial polyphenols. And then you'll be able to click on an article that's a summary directly from the New England Journal of Medicine, which may have talked about that. You can read the actual article that provides you with additional detail in depth on the subject that I'm talking, of course, in probably in a summary fashion, given the constraints of time here on this program. So drhoffman.com, click on the show, click on the podcast, search the website, lots of information about supplements there too. And of course, you can listen to the weekend edition of Health Talk. That's via WOR Radio 710 in New York or iHeartRadio for live broadcasts. Or you can go to the website of WOR, WR710.com, click on the podcasts, and you can subscribe to them or download them anytime you like. And finally, we've got a great newsletter. Our newsletter gives you timely articles of interest. The latest one, and a lot of people are real excited about it, is an article that I did on the supplements that I take. That's a subject of intense fascination for many people, it turns out, because they kind of want to see what I'm taking. Because if I'm taking it, maybe it's worthwhile investigating. So I provide a complete compendium in our latest newsletter of the supplements I take. And it's certainly a handful of supplements, a long laundry list of the things I personally take. If you want to subscribe to it, email us at radioprogram, that's one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. So that's a preamble to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Let's see what's in the news today. Dateline Rome, England's Daily Telegraph reports that Pope Francis, the new pope, is saying, clean your plate. Headline, Pope Francis says wasting food is like stealing from the poor. I really like this new pope. He's a Franciscan. He's modest. He's all about defending the underprivileged. And I think it's a really refreshing message from the Vatican. He said the following to an audience in St. Peter's Square, trying to draw attention to the excesses of consumerism and food wastage. He said, quote, this culture of waste has made us insensitive even to the waste and disposal of food, which is even more despicable when all over the world, unfortunately, many individuals and families are suffering from hunger and malnutrition. And, he points out that a lot of you may remember, if you're older, that expression, finish your, peas and carrots, clean your plate because people are starving wherever it was that people were starving at that time. You know, if you're very old, people were starving in Europe. If you're a little younger, people are starving in Africa. He makes that point. He says, once our grandparents were very careful not to throw away any leftover food. Consumerism has led us to become used to an excess and daily waste of food to which at times we're no longer able to give a just value. And here's the clincher. The Pope says that, quote, throwing away food is like stealing from the table of the poor and the hungry. He is offering not that many tangible suggestions, but hopefully an outgrowth of this will be food reclamation projects where we can take some of this tremendous waste. It turns out that across the world, 1.3 billion tons of food, 1.3 billion times 2,000 pounds, or one-third of what is produced for human consumption, gets lost or wasted every year, according to the United Nations. This the Pope denounces as a terrible tragedy, and he says that when the stock market goes down 10 points, people are all bent out of shape. But when homeless people are dying on our streets, that's not even news. So the Pope is taking a stand against waste. And I think that that's great. We've got to be thinking about it because our society is wasteful. And we could also do a little bit of use a little bit of restraint in terms of our own personal food consumption. So, you know, just rather than clean your plate, load a little less on your plate so that we can curb our headlong rush towards consumerism. I'm with the Pope. In other news this week, Michael Douglas is embroiled in controversy. You could call this the celebrity disease of the week because he came out and claimed that his well-known bout of oral cancer was related to oral sex. He was being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asked this question to Michael Douglas. The reporter asked, "Do you feel in hindsight that you overloaded your system with drugs, smoking, and drink?" And that's because we know that oral cancer, or at least until recently, the vast majority of patients with oral cancer, if you saw a patient with oral cancer, and this is when I was in my medical training, 30 years ago, they were all smokers. They're virtually all smokers. And plus, they usually drank hefty amounts of alcohol. And what that does is it literally scathes the mucous membranes and damages them. And that ultimately leads to cancer. So mouth and throat cancer, I mean, virtually unknown that the person wasn't a smoker. But in recent times, we've seen, and I've seen this myself, I've seen some patients in my office, and they've had oral cancer. And of course, the first question I ask is, how long did you smoke? Not if you smoke, but how long did you smoke? And the vast majority of these patients recently have said, I've never smoked, or I smoked, you know, maybe a couple years while I was in college. I didn't smoke very much, and then I stopped. And so I thought, there's something changing about the way that people get oral cancer. So in response to this question, do you feel in hindsight that you overloaded your system with drugs, smoking, and drink? To everybody's astonishment, Michael Douglas replies, without getting too specific, this particular cancer is caused by something called HPV, human papillomavirus, which actually comes about from, and then he dropped the C word, the technical word for oral sex with a female. And everybody was aghast, because I don't think a lot of people knew this or recognized it. And first of all, I mean, the guy's been in a lot of sexy movies. He's had a lot of, attractive leading ladies. And hopefully his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, wasn't standing next to him as he was being interviewed, because this could have been a little, you know, a moment of embarrassment. Well, since then, he, through the help of his publicist, has done a little bit of recanting. And what he has said, you know, he's issued some statements saying, look, I don't know for sure. There's no way of knowing whether my cancer, you know, came from the period of time when I was smoking and drinking, or whether it was due to oral sex and the human papillomavirus, which is correct, because nobody knows. There's not a signature on the cancer that says that the cancer had this or that or the other origin. But here's the good news for Michael Douglas. The bad news is he got a bad cancer. The good news is that I have seen, and I think many researchers looking into this and cancer specialists looking into this have noticed, that the folks who get oral cancer from smoking, it's a much more aggressive, harder to treat cancer. It's virtually 90% fatal, very hard to reverse. However, the cancer that's caused by HPV, while potentially deadly, is easier to treat. It is easier to treat. It seems to respond better to surgery, sometimes radiation, chemotherapy, standard treatments. Now, I would add this, is that for a long time, I have been treating abnormal pap smears in women, which, by the way, is the vast majority of that is caused by human papillomavirus. We now know that that's a sexually transmitted cancer, cervical cancer. So there's, you know, venereal disease contact there too, transmission, genital contact, and the virus gets transmitted. And look, virtually the vast majority of women who carry HPV, and many women do, they never get cancer. They never even get abnormal pap smears. But when they do, there is very effective prevention for progression to cancer, because an abnormal pap smear means just the beginnings of abnormal cells that may over time transform to cancer. It's not cancer, but it's a sort of pre-cancer. I treat these women with the abnormal pap smears with high doses of EGCG from green tea. It's a wonderful anti-cancer nutrient. Also, there's some really good research on a nutrient called DIM, diindolmethane, which is a derivative of the cabbage family. It's derived from broccoli, and it's a very potent anti-cancer agent in cervical cancer, helping, not if you have, you know, widespread cervical cancer, if it's spread to every part of your body, it's doubtful that that will turn it around. But if you have pre-cancer, an abnormal pap smear, virtually all the women that I've treated with this protocol, EGCG and DIM, along with higher doses of anti-cancer nutrients like vitamin C and E and zinc and selenium, and the whole complement of antioxidant nutrients, additional vitamin D as well, because it has anti-cancer effects. And another nutrient that's important is folic acid. Folic acid, very good for pre-cancer. If you have widespread cancer, if your cancer is already developed, there's some questions as to whether folic acid could promote cancer. So I hold back on folic acid once a person has had cancer, or if they have active cancer in their body, maybe, you know, go slow on the B vitamins or the folic acid. But folic acid is a potent cancer preventer in pre-cancer. It's been shown to prevent colon cancer. It's been shown to prevent many cancers. And in particular, it's useful in cervical cancer. So what I'm hoping is that in the future, they'll have better ways to detect pre-cancer in the mouth. You know, dentists have to do a good job of looking and making sure that there's nothing abnormal. That's why when I do a physical exam, I always look in the mouth to see if there's anything suspicious, then I might refer a patient for a biopsy. Because if you're caught early, obviously you're going to have a better chance of beating it. But dentists are in a good position. They look in the mouth all the time, and hopefully they pick up on these changes and can refer patients for appropriate testing, make sure they don't have mouth cancer. What I'm hoping for is that in the future, there will be new tests, kind of like pap smears for the mouth. Maybe there'll be some kind of luminescent chemical that can be applied to the tongue and the interior of the mouth that lights up if there's cancer cells present. Hopefully a test like that is under development, because it could save a lot of lives. And then when we spot precancer, just as when we spot precancer with cervical cancer, we can treat it, we can freeze it, we can remove it, or we can begin an intensive nutritional protocol to prevent cancer. I think personally, since many of us are exposed to carcinogens, whether it's via sunlight or whether it's via HPV or radiation or because of our genetics, it's really good to take a whole constellation of anti-cancer nutrients, including EGCG and DIM. And we now know that pomegranate offers some protection against cancer, and resveratrol may have anti-cancer effects, and vitamin D and aged garlic extract, and on it goes. There's a whole lot of anti-cancer nutrients. I would also include curcumin from turmeric. It's a wonderful anti-cancer nutrient. Go on a high polyphenol diet rich in the red, blues, greens, yellows, oranges, and reds of the color spectrum that belong to fresh fruits and vegetables that have wonderful anti-cancer properties. That's a good way to go if you're trying to prevent this type of cancer. And, you know, boy, it's it's a scary age we live in, because, you know, what's safe these days? There's nothing safe. And it even invades our bedroom in terms of our sexual activities. Today's final story on intelligent medicine has to do with cinnamon. Cinnamon is something that we've come to value for its culinary properties. We also know that cinnamon may have blood sugar regulatory effects. That's something that we've known about for a long time. But did you know that according to the latest research, this just out this week, that cinnamon can potentially reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease, of course, a big problem as the baby boomer generation gets older. More and more of us, unfortunately, may be prone to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. This will cost the nation $203 billion in 2013. And think of all the aging baby boomers who are queuing up to be elderly in the 2030s, 40s, and 50s. And this is going to be an enormous burden on our country. Now, there are medications that have been developed for Alzheimer's disease. I have looked at the data, and I've even utilized some of these medications with my patients. The results are very modest, and side effects abound. And in fact, recently there have been several medications that have been proposed for Alzheimer's disease, and they haven't won approval because they're just simply not effective enough to earn the approval of the Food and Drug Administration. So you better believe there's billions and billions of dollars of research that's being undertaken to combat this problem. This drug, a drug that would be effective, would be a huge blockbuster, and yet they're coming up short. I personally think that Alzheimer's disease, very complex disease, has to do with a lot of things, including poor nutrition, environmental toxicity, heavy metals, and many other factors. Many of the medications that we use deplete energy production in the brain and accelerate free radical damage. Medications we use for other purposes, for example, statin drugs, may slow down brain processes. It's a complex problem. There's no quick fix. But researchers now at, let's see, where are these researchers? Researchers at the Department of Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology at University of California, Santa Barbara are tackling this. And what they found is that two compounds found in cinnamon, cinnamaldehyde and epicatechin. Now, if that word epicatechin sounds familiar, think EGCG, because EGCG is epicatechin 3 gallate. That's a related compound, and that's in green tea. Now, we know that green tea is a potent antioxidant. Epicatechin is found in tea, but it's also found in other foods such as blueberries, chocolate, and red wine. If that is the case, I should be pretty much set because I eat a lot of blueberries, I have a lot of dark chocolate, and I have some red wine. And it is a powerful antioxidant, and it seems to prevent the clumping of proteins in the brain that lead to the formation of plaque and what are called neurofibrillary tangles. That's a nasty word. When your brain cells and the structures in your brain, the microscopic structures, get all tangled up, then your thoughts and your movements get tangled up as well. So cinnamaldehyde seems to prevent some of these knots from forming in the brain. It does so by protecting the proteins that make up our cells. So, the point is, the immediate take-home point, since there's not a drug available, obviously what they're going to do is they're going to try and model some brand new patent medication on Mother Nature. They're going to try and do one Mother Nature one better, as they often try to do, because you can't really patent cinnamon, right? It's out there in nature. Everybody can buy it at the grocery store. Not a big moneymaker. But if they can come up with a synthetic drug that mimics the effects of cinnamaldehyde and epicatechin in cinnamon, then maybe they got something. But the immediate, and that'll be, far off, research, FDA approval, 10, 15 years down the line. But in the here and now, we can add just a pinch of cinnamon to our food and help control our blood sugar, and also potentially fend off Alzheimer's disease. There's also a lot of supplements out there that are concentrated forms of cinnamon. So you may consider adding the red-brown spice with an unmistakable fragrance and flavor to your daily diet or to your supplement program to help fend off dementia. And there's a whole armamentarium of supplements that can help in this, but cinnamon has just stepped up to be part of that team. Thanks very much for joining us for today's inaugural podcast of Intelligent Medicine. And we look forward to sharing more information with you for many, 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 many months and years to come. If you like what you hear, spread the word, tell your friends about it, get the word out. The link to the podcast is found at drhoffman.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.